All right, so bear with me as I'm nervous also, but it's all good. Just got to go with the flow, you know. And so first I'm going to share my testimony about camp, and then I'll go on to my challenge. And so my parents, as y'all know, is the man with the shiny head right there. And my mom, as I'm thankful for them as they worked hard as bringing me here to where I'm at, standing here as I would have never thought I was going to be standing up here preaching to y'all like 4 years ago when I was a freshman. I thought I was just going to be a spoiled little brat. Well, I still am, but I never thought I was going to preach. But camp, I'm not going to lie, I kind of was kind of skeptical about it, about going to, I was about to say Silver State, but Southland. Because Silver State, it grew on me because that's where I got called to preach at, called to be a youth pastor. So I was like, oh, this is where I want to be at all my years as I'm in the youth. And then Brother Jesse came and was like, guys, I think we're going to go to Southland this year. I was like, you know, just keep it in myself. And then Brother Jesse would turn his back. And then I'm over here talking with Ricky and Joshua. I'm like, I don't want to go here. And but God had our purpose there, and as Brother Paulie was preaching, it felt like he was pointing right at me, and he was just sitting right in front of my face, just preaching at me, and that's how it felt like, but because it was just tugging on my heart about not pushing stuff for tomorrow, like pushing it away. It's like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, but do it now, because God might not call again tomorrow, and you might not have the same opportunity that you have today and tomorrow that we might not be able to live tomorrow, and the things that we could have done today could change someone's life and their future. And the food there was okay. As you know me, I still ate it, a lot of it. As they could attest to that, I went up for thirds, and yeah, until they told me to stop. But it was great. And then the cabins, Scott, he was our counselor. And I kind of liked that. He did a more one-on-one with us. It was different. You know, we're all together we're all together every week, but we were all separate. And the only person I'm going to miss is from my cabin is Tate. He was talking to me. I kind of prejudged him. I thought he was going to be like a jerk at first because he kind of had that face like, hey, don't mess with me, you know. I just want to be by myself and don't talk to me. But we became really close friends, and he was talking to me about like what God's working in his life as I want to go home and have my own revival and be faithful and coming to church. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're a different person than I expected. and it was a struggle at first because we had one bathroom with 11 guys and one shower. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. But it was an amazing week. I probably would not go to Silver State just for that week, because Brother Scott Pauly is an amazing preacher. So my challenge for the youth is lead by example, as we're going to be in Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if ye seem... Oh, I should wait, because y'all are still flipping paper. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom we will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side in the flood of the gods and the Amorites and the whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua is a great man. He showed leadership. He conquered. And he was the first one to lead in the battle. And to example to imitate is showing godly examples to the younger teenagers in the youth group, because they are looking at you guys as the seniors and juniors that are growing up. And also showing yourself friendly, as I know we could get carried away on picking on one teenager because he's different and he's shorter. Like, I like to pick on Micah a little bit because he's a little short. And I could mess with him because I know he can't push back until I mess with, like, Jar and Josh, where they like push me back. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And also staying humble and also just be a servant. And if you see something on the floor, pick it up. And I wish that I could go back to my junior year and change everything that I've done. Because how much I realized that when we were at camp, how much I wasted my life on my cell phone, on football, and on everything that where I could have been serving the Lord. And also, making one small mistake can change your position as a leader and back down to a follower. As in, someone could catch you listening to the wrong music, looking up something that you shouldn't be on. And also, it's to me, I kind of see it kind of like football, you know? As you're running, you're almost there to the 100-yard line and to make that touchdown, but then you take a knee at the 99-yard and you could have won the game. As that, personalizing it to y'all, is that, oh man, I don't even know what to do. So I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Hold on, bear with me. Chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not in his countenance on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And the Lord that seeth not as a man that seeth of the looketh of the outward appearance, but on the Lord that looketh on the heart. And don't be that guy that that Brother Jesse knows how who you are on the inside and out, that you're not in that position yet as a leader, and you got to work at it hard. As going to youth camp and realizing how much I wasted, it was just really tug on my heart. And like Brother Scott Pauly said, as don't pass it saying, oh, I could be a leader tomorrow, when you could be a leader today. And for you seniors, you got to step it up this year, because there's many things where I could have changed and which I didn't. And that's it for my challenge as a lead by example. And thank you.
Hello, my name is Tyler. I am a senior or a freshman, depending on how you look at it. This week at camp was really, really good. I've been going to youth camp ever since my fourth or fifth grade year as a junior camp, and then we moved here and I started going to senior camp with the youth. And every year at camp, God speaks to my heart about something. He speaks to my heart about having a better devotion life, being a better prayer, being better at witnessing, something like that. And every camp, I always say, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to change. And then 2 weeks later, I find myself the exact way I was before camp. What was different about this camp that's from the other ones is that they broke us up and we were separated from each other. We were all underneath a college-age counselor. My counselor was a senior at West Coast Baptist College, and one thing that he made an effort to do every night was after the games and after everything, at 11 or 12 o'clock when we all just wanted to go to bed, he would talk to us and he would take out his Bible and he would show us. And instead of doing something completely different from the preaching, he would make an effort to sit down and make it practical to us on how we can go home and change our lives using the message. My favorite message was Brother Polly's message on tomorrow. And that really changed. It really changed something to me. And then we went back, and the counselor talked to us, and he gave us some practical advice on how to make decisions. And so tonight I'm actually going to be talking to you all about decisions. So if you all have your Bibles, I'll be talking out of Mark chapter 14. So I was thinking this afternoon about decisions. And I just looked up some statistics on Google, just looking up about the U.S. and what they have to say about statistics, about decisions. They said the most common time for decisions is New Year's. They said the most common one is diets. Everybody makes diets at New Year's. They said roughly 48% of Americans make New Year's resolutions every year. That's 127 million Americans. They said only 8% of Americans keep it to halfway through the year. That's only 2 million Americans keep their decisions. And so we're going to start reading here in verse 26 of chapter 14. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, and I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter was feeling probably pretty close to God at this point in his life. Judas had just gone to betray him, and Jesus picks him, James, and John to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray with him. So he must be thinking, you know, pretty high about himself right now. He's thinking, you know, Jesus called me. Out of all 12, he called me and two other guys to go with him to pray. I'm pretty special. He must have been feeling really close to Christ. But I want you to notice what he said in verse 29. "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And then Jesus said in verse 30, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that this day, even this night," he told him that he was going to deny him three times. But then in verse 31, Peter kind of speaks back to Jesus. He says, "But he spake more vehemently, saying, I should die with thee. I will not deny thee in any wise," or "I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." So this, I chose this passage because this passage kind of homes in on Peter and the decisions he made this night. He chose not to believe Christ, first off. That was the first mistake he made. He made a decision to not listen to Christ. Instead of saying, "Lord, I don't want to deny you. What can I do to not do this? Can you help me?" He said, "I'm not going to do it. It's me. I'm not going to do it." And then we go to the garden, and Jesus is praying, and he comes back. And verse 37, and he comes back after praying, and he cometh and findeth them sleepeth. And the only one he points out is Peter. He says, and saith unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour?" I love how he points out Peter there. Because like I said, this passage really draws to Peter's decisions. He said he chose his own desires and his own wants above what Christ wanted him to do. And often, I do the same thing. I've been working all week. I'm so tired. I don't want to go to Tuesday night visitation. Mom, it's Thursday. We had to mow all the church grass. I don't want to go out and mow the grass. You know, I put my own desires and my own wants above everything that he does. I call this his diet choices. See, what happens whenever people go on diets is they go for 2 or 3 weeks and they're doing really good. And then they say, "I'm doing really good. I'm going to have a cheat day. I can drink 10 sodas today and 15 pancakes and 4 pizzas. I'll be all right. I've been doing really good." And we do the same thing. We make small, you know, "Lord, I've been doing really good. I've prayed my Bible for 2 weeks. I've prayed, read my Bible for 2 weeks. I've gone to every church service. I can stay home from Tuesday night visitation. I can skip Sunday night service." But in verse 54, it says, "And Peter followed him afar off." It didn't take a great sin for Peter to be afar off. It was the small choices that he made that drew him to be afar off. A lot of you guys know that I worked at Chick-fil-A for a year. Actually, this morning I was in the 3 to 5 year old class for a few minutes while the girl workers were away, and one of the kids in there said, "I recognize you." I said, "Where from?" And the guy goes, "Chick-fil-A." All right, fair enough. But while I was working at Chick-fil-A, one of the things that they teach you during training is, in my store at least, they gave you a paper right here. And it's a quote from Truett Cathy. It says, "Today is day one. Build our business, protect our brand, uphold our purpose. One guest, one transaction, one great sandwich, one clean restaurant, one memorable experience, one day at a time." And I found this paper on my floor today. Shows how much I listened to it while I worked there. But my boss would often tell me this. And I thought it was really, really applicable to the Christian life. Because we do the same thing, you know. I don't have to do it now. I've been doing really good. But it's all about waking up every day and making the conscious decision to follow Christ. Just like at Chick-fil-A, I had to make the conscious decision, even though I didn't want to put on a fake smile and give people fast food. And Paul said, I die daily. You know, it's all about making every day the conscious decision to follow Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you've made a camp decision and you're doing good so far. And you say, I'm doing really good. Don't give yourself a cheat day. It's all about waking up every day and making the decision. Maybe you're just here tonight and you've made a decision to follow Christ in your own life, just through church or whatever. And, you know, just the same thing. Just don't give yourself a cheat day. Always be diligent about waking up every day and saying, I'm going to do good. You know, I believe Peter had the same mindset. I believe he said, you know, I'm doing good. I deserve a sleep. I followed Christ for 3.5 years. I deserve to sleep for an hour, you know. But let me remind you, it didn't take him committing some awful sin to follow Christ afar off. It took him just making small decisions every day that got him to the place where he was afar off. This was before he even had denied Christ. And the Bible says, but Peter followed him afar off.
That's very good. I don't have a lot to add except to be a leader, you got to make the right decision every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What a challenge. Very, very good. How are you doing day to day? I was thinking as they were giving their testimonies, and has been pointed out nearly every year that most of the kids say a lot of the same things. And I think you would have to be there to understand why. Because there are different messages being preached, and more often than not, there's one message that stands out. And when that message stands out, then that's the message that impacts them the most. And so I just want you to be aware of that and thank the Lord for it. And all the messages were wonderful, but there were a couple that were just outstanding. The tomorrow message was amazing. And then the one about being real was great. The best one, though, was on prayer. And what a challenge we have. Be a genuine Christian. Be real. Live Monday like you live today. Right? What we are on Sunday should be what we are on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And we should live for Him every day. Brother Tyler, very good job. Victor, very good. Appreciate these young men. Let's all stand. We have a verse invitation tonight. The challenge has been given. And appreciate your investment in these young people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the messages tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. What a blessing, Lord, to see you continue to work in the life of our young people. We thank you for the Lattas and Miss Eva and their sacrifice of spending time with the kids this last week. And God, I just pray that you would, how you worked in the life of the young people, you work in our hearts today, now. Lord, that the fire that was kindled this week would continue to burn. Lord, that would spread into our church family. Lord, I pray. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 1.